What's up, guys? Thanks for coming back to Locked On Universe. Just wanted to let you guys know that Anchor now is allowing you to become part of the Locked On Universe experience by becoming part of the subscription. We're only charging $1.99 currently, and we want you to be part of the experience. We're going to offer unheard of whistleblower testimony, as well as government insider information, as well as folks who have undergone hypnotic regression and told us their story. So please tune in to that. If you are interested for deeper cuts and deeper information, please consider being part of the subscription. It's only $1.99 and it's definitely worth it. So join in. Let's get to the show. What's up, what's up, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Lockdown Universe, some of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO legend and lore. We are back with another very interesting topic tonight. I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're ready to dig in. As I promised, and I had done a previous podcast on the Zeta Grays, I wanted to dig in on this article that I found on in5d.com, a guide to Earth's I believe it is, well, they're not going any farther than that. A Guide to Earth's, I guess, Creatures and Alien Species. This particular podcast is about reptilians. So we're going to dive deep into this one. Very interesting, very well-known alien species amongst ufologists, dating way back. And according to this article, their place of origin, obviously, is Alpha Draconi. The draconian beings originally came from another universe, according to this article. After the universe already created stars and planets, and the avian and feline races were already developing here billions of years ago, they then established themselves in the Draco and Orion constellation regions, and then set out to conquer other worlds. So, to break that down a little bit, most of us, I mean, at least myself, have not heard of them originating in another universe. So this kind of brings about ideas of like the show Stranger Things, where they go to the upside down world and they find the dragon-like creatures and all these huge creatures in the upside down, basically when scientists created a portal to another universe dimension. They were able to go through this portal and there were huge, pretty nasty, demonic looking creatures there. So it makes you wonder if these reptilians and draconians are from another universe. Does that mean that billions, maybe, you know, millions, billions of years ago, that they did, someone, some species created some sort of portal to another universe and allowed these reptilians to come in? That would be fascinating. That'd be interesting. Something to look up and look into. I haven't ever heard of this before, but this article is kind of opening up new possibilities in my mind to where these creatures could have originated from. I've heard and read so many stories about the overwhelming power of these beings, the sheer mental control that they can have over an individual is bar none. It's above and beyond almost any other species. They dominate wherever they go. Any planet they want to go to, they dominate. And they dominated Earth for some time, for a long time, actually, and we'll get into that. But, you know, very dominant species. You know, and if you look at reptilians as just a creature on the planet, if you've ever seen the show Planet Earth, reptilians are very, very dominant in their ecosystem, in their biosystem. So it's not surprising. Anyway, let's move a little bit forward in this article and kind of learn a little bit more here. So, their dimensional perspectives, that means the dimensions with which in they live. We're currently in 3D, us humans. These guys exist from 3D all the way up to 12D. So when you think of 3D, right, you're thinking of the three-dimensional world. When you start thinking 4D, you start thinking the spiritual world, the metaphysical world. In 5D, it continues to go up in different echelons of spirituality and enlightenment. experience. So these guys apparently survive all the way up to 12D, according to this article, which doesn't surprise me given the amount of research we've had with Corey Good, who's encountered these beings and basically stated that when he encountered a 12-foot-tall white Draco reptilian who was of the royal bloodline, who walked up to him with wings attached to his back, looking like a dragon, Corey Good stated that he felt mind-raped when he encountered this being, that this being virtually took whatever he wanted from Corey's mind and his co-worker's mind and had with them the way that they wanted to. These guys walk in, they own the room. And when they walk in, they're not just walking in by themselves. They have subservient soldiers with them that carry axes and other weaponry that show their force. So these guys are not to be played with. These guys are showing that they're not to be played with. And this was not the only time Corey Good and his co-worker encountered these guys. They actually encountered them in a covert operation in a kind of a dirty, abandoned hotel. And then they also encountered these guys up in the Galactic Federation's main base, where they also had these warrior-like reptilians with these axes and swords being presented with one of the royal Draco reptilian bloodline creatures, who were about 14 feet tall. The subservient soldiers were about 9 feet tall. So they, you know, not only are smaller in stature, but they're also smaller in their overall status to these royal bloodline Dracos. So their appearance, the original reptilian master race is Draconian, which have the form of dragons. Okay, so this is what this article is saying. They have the form of dragons. Now, in Corey Good's experience, he talked about the fact that these guys, the royal class, have wings. They have smaller wings, not like, you know, humongous wings, but they do have wings attached to their back. So if indeed their ancestors are full-on dragons, this story makes sense. It goes hand in hand, and it coincides and corroborates a lot of previous government whistleblower testimony. The article also states they are huge winged beings of immense power. So they're talking about the master race now. So not just these royal bloodlines that Corey's talking about, but their ancestors and the master race of the Draconian have huge wings of immense power, and there are now many forms of these reptilian beings within the universe. Some are fully reptilian, and some are human-reptilian hybrids. So this is interesting. Now they're talking about human-reptilian hybrids. So their evolution is that the Draconian race came in small numbers after this universe was formed. They found and opened a gateway in the Lyrian constellation, and they were a renegade group whose motives were to find new lands to conquer and to multiply. Who does that sound like? Does that sound like the Europeans coming to America? Right? I mean, you come and you conquer, you know? I mean, that's what these guys are all about. They became a menace to many evolving worlds and did not abide by the limits and interference set by creator beings and angelic consciousnesses. So, you know, these guys seem just kind of like the Greys, where they don't care about any exopolitics, any laws of any planets. These guys are creating their own laws as they go along, and they are completing their mission. You know, the mission that they feel is right. We complete our missions, you know, as a country, as a military, the way we think is right. Meanwhile, you know, as we're attacking another country, obviously we're going against their beliefs. They have their own beliefs, and they're fighting for what they believe is right. So, you know, it's interesting when you put it in that perspective. So, but these reptilians developed a disturbing reputation in the universe, and their Draconian lineage has since evolved to a high stature, and they cooperate in guiding creation in the universe. There are many reptilian races that are still warlike and a bit rough, and maybe those are the ones that we tend to run into here on Earth, while others have evolved to find the power within their heart centers and are a positive, powerful force in creating new civilizations. It makes you wonder if there are multiple reptilian species on the planet, because we have the Lacertophiles, and within the Lacertophiles is the basically the premise behind the Lacertophiles is that a female reptilian of an underground civilization of reptilians here on Earth came to a human and gave an interview, and during that interview she stated that, you know, they're more of a peace-faring civilization, and that there are more evil, malicious reptilians out there. So it just makes you wonder if there's multiple different races, just like there's multiple different countries for humans. Some are more peaceful, some are less peaceful, and, you know, it might go for other species as well. Now let's move on to their abilities. Their abilities are that they tend to see advantages in all situations and can strategize ways to effectively complete any goal. Their instincts are acute, they sense motives, and some say that they can smell fear and weakness. They can also smell strengths. Many species are only crudely telepathic, if at all. Thus, they often depend on telepathic translators in their galactic dealings. But in other aspects, their intellectual prowess serves them well. Some are more highly advanced. And it makes you wonder if there's like a caste system there. You know, kind of what it sounds like they're explaining, where there's a lower caste that need translators and a higher caste that simply overly dominates the entire species. It'd be kind of interesting. They also state that their abilities are that they're energetically capable of shape-shifting into other beings. Now, this is directly in correlation with the story that Ingo Swann had about encountering an alien in a grocery store. Ingo Swann is one of our most famous and most well-recognized remote viewers within the Stargate and Scan-8 program, worked for Stanford Research Institute in the 70s and 80s, and has worked for our government for decades. He ran into an alien at the grocery store. This alien had shape-shifted. He was able to tell. It was a beautiful woman. However, she informed him that at any time she could revert back to her reptilian form, and she would be able to scare the crap out of anyone. So she just, you know, goes around, and basically they're not even shape-shifting in physical form. They're actually manipulating how they are seen by humans. So they're actually manipulating every human's mentality when they are in their presence. And this is doubly verified by the Lacertophiles. The female reptilian also stated that they have this capability. So it just goes to show you that there's some corroborating evidence. There's more than just one story. There's more than just one author. There's more than just one person. And especially if Ingo Swann, one of the most well-decorated, one of the most trusted operatives within the government, has had his background checked, double checked, triple checked, quadruple checked, and, you know, is always watched by the government, for him to tell this story is really telling. It's really telling and gives a lot of veracity to other individuals who have had similar encounters. So when we have such a powerful entity such as, you know, Ingo Swann or a couple of these other whistleblowers, you really have to take it seriously. You know, you really have to take this to heart and not just blow it off and be like, oh, okay, crazy man's talking about that stuff. No, these are well-known hired individuals by the government, proven time and time again, and we need to take it seriously. So let's move on. Their specialties in this article, they state that reptilians will get the job done no matter what it takes. They are social builders, and they can see how talents can be best used to accomplish tasks. So they establish effective hierarchies and rules to make their team succeed. So again, we're talking about kind of a caste system there. And higher dimensional reptilians are called upon to bring order and direction in common pursuits. So see, they do have a hierarchy going on here, higher dimensional reptilians. They bring loyalty and a sense of duty to their endeavors, but their needs are, and this is kind of their weakness, is they demand respect and order. Reptilians generally need others to respect their strength and instincts, because they have a strong desire to bring order out of chaos. So this is kind of their Achilles heel. If they're not respected, they are aggressive. So in their strengths, there's also weaknesses. Their main focus is to bring a spirit of accomplishment, duty, loyalty, courage, and order to all situations. Evolving reptilians seek to reveal the strength within their hearts and use their power to elevate projects. But why are they here on Earth? There's plenty of planets in the galaxies out there. Why do they want to be here on Earth? Well, the Draconian race early on created the dinosaurs on Earth, which is what we talked about in many podcasts. They were an early experiment for Gaia consciousness. Then it was agreed upon by universal councils that there was a time for new life to blossom on Earth, and that these dinosaurs had to meet, the way of the maker, so that other life could blossom, flourish, and it could be used for basically a big, huge science lab, So much later, the Intergalactic Council allowed reptilians to remain, but in smaller forms. Much later, after humans were evolved in sentience, a 4D reptilian race became involved in enslaving human beings to do their bidding, and there was some genetic mixing that occurred without permission from Guardians of the Earth. This race and other reptilian beings are now trying to rectify this mistake now. So this is interesting. So they're saying after humans basically evolved sentience, a 4D reptilian race, meaning like probably a spiritual race, is out there trying to control humans and do their bidding. This has been kind of an ongoing story. I've seen a few different episodes of like hauntings, haunting episodes where reptilians were possessing humans and having them do their will, trying to get them to do some evil, and have them do their dirty work, basically. And then when they were in an exorcism, they were stating that we are legion, that we have massive amounts of numbers, and we can't be defeated. And so, it really makes you think about, what kind of other dimensional beings are out there. Is there actual spiritual warfare going on? A lot of folks talk about spiritual warfare, on your soul, whether or not you're being attacked, by a dimension you're not even aware of, and that could be true. We're attacked, by our own spirituality. It's possible that we could be encountering other realities as well, in other dimensions. Just take, for example, if you walk into a room with a person who has an entirely horrible attitude, you don't even have to speak to the person. You can feel it. You can feel it in your bones. I can. I don't know if you, I'm assuming other folks can as well. If same thing goes for if you walk into a room and it feels light and airy and happy, and there might be a few people in there where you might not even see a person. They might be in the back room. You might not even see them until you've been in the store or the building for a few minutes, but there's this feeling of lightness and of goodness in the building. You'll feel that vibration. So again, right, it's all energy. We're all energy, and apparently these 4D reptilians cause a lot of problems, and they're trying to fix that problem now. So moving forward, for them, reptilian souls on Earth today are often from 5D evolved races that are here to remedy negative influences from past reptilians. They are heart-centered with a profound power to use their loyalty and sense of duty to awaken unconditional love on Earth. Hidden beneath what may appear to be a guarded nature lies a huge capacity to transcend differences and find acceptance for all walks of life. These souls are often leaders in whatever they do. They make wonderful group coordinators and event organizers and will usually finish what they start. They can come across too strong or boisterous at times, and some say arrogant. But again, when they let down their guard and they reveal an amazing gift that allows them to see love and the talents of others and lead them to accomplish great things. It kind of seems like, you know, when you encounter like a Navy SEAL, right? Not all Navy SEALs, because I know a few Navy SEALs, but some Navy SEALs are pretty hard-headed. I'm not going to name names. There's plenty of Navy SEALs that are out there in public, and some of them are out there, you know, promoting their business or whatever, and they're just like, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, you got to push through. You just got to work harder. You got to push through things. You got to get tough. Got to do this and that. And they seem to lack empathy for folks that might have disabilities. They might have mental disabilities. They might have physical disabilities. You know, spiritual disabilities, whatever the case is. And, you know, they're just hard-headed. They just push through no matter what. Well, that doesn't always work, right? They might have good intentions, but that doesn't always work for every single person. So, you know, there's different motivators for different people. And the Navy SEAL class is really the warrior class, right? And so the same thing goes for the reptilians. A lot of them have warrior classes, and maybe they have some good intentions underneath, but because they're so tough on the outside, they're and maybe arrogant, like many, you know, military can be, at times, right? Especially, you know, our young guns and Navy SEALs, they have to be, because if they're not, they're going to die out there. So that might be the same mentality that some of these reptilians have. And maybe they do have good in their heart. But again, this is one article. I'm not saying that it's true for all of them. I'm just repeating what's in this article. I found some of it very interesting. I'm not sure I agree with everything that's in it. Because they talk about some other stuff too. There's some stuff I've already talked about I didn't 100% agree with. And they also talk about reptilians having or humans having some reptilian DNA. So, you know, I don't know if I understand that. we've done lots of DNA tests and found that we're super closely related with, you know, apes and chimpanzees and that kind of thing. So I don't know, you know, it's interesting to look at, but again, it's just an article. So, you know, in my experience doing the research on reptilians, they've always been the negative species. They've always had negativity associated with them. They've been seen to be working behind the scenes with our military and our government and doing some nasty stuff with Corey Good, with some of his other intuitive empaths that have worked on Project Serpo, that have worked with benevolent species in the Intergalactic Federation, and have been told that these guys are the bad guys, and had a really negative interaction with reptilians that tried to take over a room where Corey Good and his coworker were in, and a species basically had to fight these reptilians in the intergalactic base. So I just don't know, you know, I don't know enough, you know, I don't know everything about exopolitics and about the Intergalactic Federation and who's the best species out of that. But I do know what Corey Good reported and a couple other folks that were in that project, and they all said that these guys were nasty, they're rude, that they basically mind raped him, and they basically take whatever they want, and they give off a tremendously terrifying vibe. And let's face it, guys, when we are engaging with anything in the world, we get a vibe from it. And the vibration is the energy that's being put out by their mind and their spirit and their body. It's being put off, and we are receiving it. We are receivers. And so we can understand their intentions. And if Corey Good and his folks were receiving bad intentions from these folks, chances are they're not such great folks. Now, that might not be true for all reptilians, but it was for these reptilians that we were interacting with on a government level. So there, that's a fact. So that's what I know. That's what I've researched. Again, I haven't researched everything, but that's a lot of what I've heard behind the scenes, and folks that I've talked to, folks that I've interviewed, and folks that I've researched on. So take that for what it's worth. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope that you are enjoying Lockdown Universe. If you are, feel free to drop any donations that you can in the Anchor Kitty Cat. There's a brand new Anchor subscription that you can just drop a couple bucks in to get some new podcasts that I'll be delivering that'll be separate from the free ones. That'll be a little bit more detailed and a little bit more interesting. So I will offer that as well. Hopefully you guys can join in for that. And looking forward to the future. So hopefully you guys are taking care of your mental health, your spiritual health, your physical health, following through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams, and as always, continuing to question the universe around you. Until next time, guys, take care, and Lockdown Universe is out.